Common chronic pain conditions. From the evolutionary perspective, pain is very important to survival because it warns people of an impending injury and allows the body to act early and avoid further injury. Pain is usually a signal that some part of the body is being damaged and requires additional protection or nurturing to heal. But pain can also be a result of a dysfunction of the nervous system, in which the sensation persists even when nothing is causing immediate hurt or damage. Chronic pain can be described as ongoing or recurrent pain, lasting beyond the usual course of illness or injury, or more than 3 months. Common chronic pain conditions include headaches, low back pain, cancer pain, arthritic pain, and neurogenic pain. Chronic or persistent pain affects more than 100 million people in the United States and represents a significant cause of long-term disability, lost work, and social dysfunction. Chronic pain can be managed effectively with a variety of strategies, including medications, exercise, physical therapy, cognitive therapies, and other approaches. Opioid medications such as morphine and fentanyl have been increasingly used to treat people with chronic pain. However, research suggests that long-term use of opioid medications is not effective for chronic pain outside of end-of-life care. Opioid use disorder and death from drug overdoses have become increasingly common in the United States, and that there is national concern about inappropriate use of opioid medications for chronic pain. The high rate of prescription opioid drug abuse has led the FDA to call it a serious public health crisis of addiction, overdose, and death, and to mandate new rules called REMS, Risk Evaluation and Mitigation Strategy, in labeling, studying, and prescribing opioids. The course of chronic pain conditions depends on the source of the problem, but most people are able to effectively manage the condition by using a variety of strategies that do not include opioid medications. When something hurts the outside or the inside of the body, the tissue being injured or destroyed releases chemicals such as prostaglandins, bradykinin, serotonin, substance P, and histamine. These substances activate certain neurons called nociceptors that act as pain receptors. Activated nociceptor neurons transmit electrical signals to the spinal cord and then to the brain. The brain understands the signals as pain, gives pain an emotional component, and releases endorphins. Endorphins are naturally occurring opioids produced by the body to decrease pain. Endorphins also produce a sensation of well-being. Dysfunction at any level of this pain perception pathway, including pain receptors, nerve endings, nerve trajectories, and the spinal cord and brain, may result in ongoing sensation of pain even if no continuing damage to the tissue is occurring. Furthermore, changes in endorphin production alter pain sensations. Endorphins are increased by exercise and decreased by prescribed or abused opioids, such as heroin or prescription pain medications. When people use opioids over the long term, the body's ability to produce endorphins may be damaged, which is one way long-term opioid users, including those with substance use disorders, can become more sensitive to pain. When people with chronic pain experience increased sensitivity to pain, the problem perpetuates. Reduced activity or mobility because of the pain may result in muscle atrophy, muscle spasms, deconditioning, further immobility, and decreased function at home and at work. Successful treatment and self-management aims for reduced pain, reduced side effects, improved functional and emotional status, and a return to work. Neuropathic pain refers to a dysfunction of the nerves that transmit pain, resulting in those nerves firing abnormally and chronically. Neuropathic pain is associated with certain metabolic diseases that produce nerve damage, such as diabetes. Nociceptive pain results from tissue destruction and may be one of three types. Musculoskeletal pain results from injury of the muscles, ligaments, or bones. Inflammatory pain is due to inflammation, autoimmune processes, and connective tissue diseases or infection. Mechanical visceral pain results from mechanical compression or dysfunction of the internal organs. Nociceptive pain is generally characterized by pain to palpation, tenderness to the touch, muscle spasm, and limited range of motion. Sometimes pain that a person feels on the body's surface can, in fact, represent pain from a problem elsewhere. For example, deep visceral pain from injury or disease of an internal organ can stimulate nearby nerve terminals that produce a pain signal on the surface of the body. This referred pain is usually not associated with tenderness to the touch or limiting range of motion. For example, left shoulder pain can, in fact, represent heart ischemia or heart attack. Right shoulder pain can similarly represent gallbladder disease. Both neuropathic and nociceptive pain conditions may not have objective findings that doctors can observe in an exam or by doing blood or radiological tests. In fact, for many chronic pain syndromes, no known tests will confirm the source of the pain. Sometimes, for example, in people with low back pain, an X-ray of the lower spine will show many changes of osteoarthritis, such as bony spurs and narrowing of the space between the bones. However, those changes are so common among people without low back pain that it is difficult to say whether the bone spurs and narrowing are at all important in developing the pain syndrome. Several major chronic pain syndromes, such as certain back pains, headaches, or fibromyalgia, don't have clear objective findings. Pain with no objective findings is pain that is felt by the patient, sometimes severe and interfering with function. But with this kind of pain, medical investigations cannot find a source of obvious damage to a part of the body to justify the pain. This may be due to limitations of current medical ability to diagnose certain conditions, including damage to pain pathways. Fictitious pain is pain that is falsely claimed or largely exaggerated by the patient with the goal of obtaining a secondary benefit, such as care from doctors or family, monetary gains, or opioids for abuse or diversion. When no test can pinpoint the source of pain, patients and medical and mental health clinicians may feel puzzled and ask themselves, is the pain real? But pain without objective findings can be felt as very real by the patient. Fictitious pain and pain that doesn't have objective findings, however easily confused, are quite different syndromes. The astute clinician must explore the patient's history empathically and carefully to determine the diagnosis. Several of the major common pain syndromes include low back pain, arthritis, fibromyalgia, headaches, neuropathic pain, and cancer pain. Low back pain. Low back pain is very common and heterogeneous. It can be experienced as mild, moderate, or severe, brief, or nagging. It can be acute, meaning it resolves within 3 months or less, or ongoing chronic pain. Many people with mild symptoms do not seek medical care. Most people with symptoms severe enough to cause an interruption in work return to work within a month, but 1/3 of people who develop low back pain can still have pain a year later, and about 1 in 20 people with low back pain become disabled by it. Low back pain can have a precise cause, such as a fractured vertebrae, a multiple diffuse reasons such as muscle strain, osteoarthritis of the back, or disc herniation putting pressure on a nerve root. Osteoarthritis and disc degeneration are common in people with low back pain, but also in people without low back pain. So it is often difficult to determine whether the osteoarthritis or the disc degeneration is really the cause of pain. Many treatments have shown to be helpful for chronic low back pain, including medications, heat or ice packs, exercise, massage therapy, yoga, behavioral therapy, and functional therapy. Arthritis, or inflammation of the joint, produces pain, swelling, and reduced motion of the joints. The pain can be chronic as well as have acute exacerbations. There are many types of arthritis, including osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, gout, and pseudogout. Osteoarthritis, or degenerative joint disease, is the most common arthritis. It is a wear and tear of the joint structures that most often affects the hands, the knees, the hips, or the spine. Rheumatoid arthritis is an inflammation of the joints resulting from an autoimmune process in which the body produces antibodies attacking its own structures. It often starts symmetrically and affects the small joints of the hands, which over time can be destroyed and become deformed. Gout and pseudogout are forms of arthritis caused by deposits of uric acid crystals or calcium in the joints. These forms of arthritis can cause severe pain in one joint, like the base of the great toe or the knee. Joints with gout become red and painful to even light touch. The different types of arthritis respond to different types of treatment, which is why it is important to have a correct diagnosis. In addition to medication, weight control, diet, and exercise therapy may be very important in managing arthritis. Fibromyalgia is a pain syndrome of unknown cause in which people suffer from chronic pain of the musculoskeletal system, fatigue, headaches, cognitive problems such as difficulty focusing, and psychiatric symptoms such as depression, anxiety, and insomnia. In the United States, 2-3% of people have fibromyalgia. Both children and adults have this syndrome, which is more common in women. Patients' laboratory tests are usually normal, and diagnosis is based on the patient's history and tenderness to touch at various muscle points. Specific medications have been approved for fibromyalgia, including duloxetine, milnacipran, and pregabalin. In addition to medications, exercise, tai chi, acupuncture, and relaxation therapies can be of great benefit. Many types of headaches exist, including tension and migraine headaches. Tension headaches are the most common type of headache. A tension headache is thought to be due to spasm of the muscles of the neck and the scalp, causing a sensation of constriction of the head. Tension headaches are traditionally associated with stress. Migraine headaches can be severe, temporarily debilitating, and accompanied by neurological symptoms such as temporary changes in vision with partial blindness or bright lights appearing in one field of vision, sensitivity to noises, lights, and smells, and even temporary numbness and paralysis of a limb. People with migraines often have another family member with migraine headaches. Migraines can be triggered by alcohol, hypoglycemia, chocolate, a variety of foods, and in women, hormone variations associated with the menstrual cycle. Headaches can respond to acetaminophen and non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Migraine headaches respond to specific medications called triptans. When migraines are very frequent and severe, they can be prevented with daily medications such as topiramate, propranolol, valproate, and vitamin B2, riboflavin. The occipital nerves can be injected with anesthetics or with botulinum toxin for pain relief. Relaxation therapies and avoiding triggers are necessary and effective. Neuropathic pain involving diseased or damaged nerves that fire signals to the brain feels different from other types of pain and usually includes burning, tingling, or sharp electric feelings, and it can be simulated by unusual triggers such as light touch. The most common type of neuropathic pain occurs in people with diabetic neuropathy. People with diabetes can develop blockages in the blood vessels that serve the nerve endings in the legs and feet. When the nerves don't get oxygen and nutrients from the blood, they can be damaged, leading to painful tingling and numbness that can interfere with walking and sleep. Other disorders can also lead to developing painful neuropathies. These include disorders that impair the thyroid gland, result in abnormal proteins in the blood, such as multiple myeloma, or cause vitamin deficiencies such as chronic severe alcohol use disorders. Treatment of neuropathic pain involves correcting the cause of the neuropathy, non-pharmacologic approaches, and using medications that can reduce the abnormal nerve firing, such as anticonvulsants, tricyclic antidepressants, other antidepressants with pain-reducing properties, and topical creams and patches. In review of non-pharmacological strategies useful for neuropathic pain, such as acupuncture, electric stimulation, and behavioral strategies, exercise was associated with the most improvement in neuropathic pain. About 1 in 3 people with cancer experiences pain. Pain occurs in advanced cancer due to tumors, or it can be a side effect of the treatment. With advanced cancer, pain can result from the tumor compressing or destroying the nearby tissues or from chemicals that the cancer cells are releasing. Chemotherapy side effects can lead to pain associated with severe vomiting, diarrhea, mouth sores, or neuropathy. Radiation therapy may harm tissues next to the cancer and cause painful scarring. Surgical wounds are painful until they are fully healed. There are many ways to address cancer pain, including treating the cancer itself, treating the side effects, using a variety of pain medications for mild to severe pain, and employing relaxation therapies, acupuncture, massage, physical therapy, and exercise therapy. Many aspects of chronic pain and chronic pain treatment are relevant for people with co-occurring disorders. Chronic pain, depression, and anxiety interact with each other. People with chronic pain are more likely to experience depression and anxiety than those without chronic pain. People with depressive and anxiety disorders have higher rates of pain experiences than those without those mental health conditions. Pain signals stimulate areas of the brain that produce negative emotions. People with chronic pain often experience fear, avoidance, helplessness, and shame. People may withdraw from their families, jobs, and social networks, and they may experience social isolation and stigma. Some of the treatments that are effective for pain have antidepressant and anti-anxiety properties. On the other hand, reduced pain awareness in other mental health disorders, such as psychotic disorders and mania, may lead to difficulty diagnosing and managing some chronic health conditions in which discomfort or pain is a signal for intervention. In these cases, clinicians may need to provide extra monitoring and extra training to people regarding early warning signs of the chronic health condition. Clinicians may also need to alter the standard management practices to adapt to the mental health condition. People with these mental health disorders need to establish a relationship with a primary care provider and get regular health checkups. People with substance use disorders may be reluctant to seek care for pain. They may have experienced care from providers who were judgmental or dismissive, or they may be worried they will be given medication that can trigger their addiction. People should seek care, though, and work actively with their provider to seek evaluation and non-opioid management strategies for pain. Indeed, people with a personal or family history of substance use disorders are at increased risk of becoming addicted to opioids prescribed for pain control, and opioids should be avoided as much as possible. If opioid treatment is necessary, the following strategies should be used to reduce risk of addiction. Random drug screening. time-limited prescriptions, a week at a time, long-acting forms of medication with scheduled doses, avoidance of as-needed medications, use of a single pharmacy, prescription monitoring systems, pill counts at follow-up appointments, mandatory follow-up and reevaluation consultations with a pain or addiction specialist. If the mental health and substance use treatment team discovers misuse, prescribers should be informed and advised to stop prescribing opioids. People with substance use disorders can have altered thresholds for pain, either feeling more pain, especially in opioid use disorder, or being less alert to pain signals. People who use opioids over a long period of time, whether by prescription or illicitly, may develop increased pain sensitivity or hyperalgesia, a condition in which mild stimuli may produce pain. Paradoxically, hyperalgesia doesn't respond well to increased doses of opioids. Greater difficulty may occur with treating acute pain due to either the high risks that opioid treatments have in this population or the development of tolerance to opioids, which is needing increased doses of opioids to maintain the same level of pain control. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention published new recommendations for the assessment and treatment of chronic pain early in 2016. Treatment for pain includes pharmacological and non-pharmacological methods, an approach that includes a combination of exercise and psychoeducation designed to enhance communication, control, problem solving, and coping can lead to significant improvement in pain and function. A number of treatments that are effective for pain are also effective for depression, anxiety, and substance use disorders, which may benefit some people by improving both their conditions simultaneously. Many pharmacological options have been studied to treat pain, including acetaminophen, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, topical medications, muscle relaxants, antidepressants, anticonvulsants, antipsychotics, cannabis, and cannabinoids and opioids. Care must be taken regarding choice and use of these. However, because some of these medications are addictive. For people with chronic use of prescription opioids, whether licit or illicit, additional pain control may be required due to acute events, such as accident or surgery, worsening of their condition, tolerance to opioids, or hyperalgesia. Patients with chronic opioid dependence may not only have more pain, but may also require and tolerate higher doses of opioids. If an increase in opioids is required, doctors must carefully dose these medications to avoid dangerous side effects and overdose. People who take methadone or buprenorphine maintenance therapy for opioid use disorder are usually on doses that don't provide pain control for acute injuries or surgeries. Acceptable short-term management may include both increasing the dose of their maintenance medication and adding another opioid to control pain. Close collaboration among clinicians for physical health, substance abuse, and mental health treatment, and careful shared decision-making with the patient can prevent relapse of their substance use disorder. Methadone cannot be combined with buprenorphine, because people using both can either develop opioid withdrawal symptoms or experience an accidental overdose. People on methadone and buprenorphine who develop pain have to be carefully managed by a multidisciplinary team that includes pain and addiction specialists. People with opioid use disorders can also benefit from the many non-pharmacological treatments for chronic pain. Chronic pain often brings with it complex emotional and functional issues. Furthermore, pain may be worsened by stress and depression, all of which are amenable to self-management approaches. Many pain conditions are associated with muscular involvement that can improve with self-management. People who have conditions involving chronic pain will benefit from maximizing their use of non-pharmacological pain management techniques, including many powerful self-management strategies. As with other chronic complex problems, the more patients play an active role in the management of their conditions, the better the outcomes. Transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation, known as TENS, involves applying low-intensity, safe electrical currents to the skin in the area of pain with the goal of distracting the brain from the painful stimuli. Spinal cord stimulation uses electrodes implanted into the spinal cord and is used sometimes in chronic neuropathic pain when people still have pain after back surgery. During acupuncture, a traditional Chinese medical procedure, fine needles are inserted and manipulated in specific points on the body to relieve pain and for other therapeutic purposes. Research suggests that acupuncture leads to modest improvement for a variety of pain syndromes, such as osteoarthritis pain, low back pain, and fibromyalgia. Interventions such as botulinum toxin injections, ablations, nerve blocks, trigger point injections, and epidural steroid injections may be effective in particular situations. These procedures aim at numbing or blocking the nerves or the muscles that are presumed to be primarily responsible for the pain. They are more invasive than the previous approaches, but less invasive than surgical approaches. When non-surgical treatments for back pain have failed, people may consider surgery to address the disc degeneration that is thought to be related to low back pain. Common procedure is spinal fusion, which involves removing the degenerated disc and joining the vertebrae above and below it. Fusion surgery can lead to moderate pain relief and modest gains in function, but it does not lead to better outcomes than non-surgical intensive rehabilitation. Surgery and associated anesthesia are associated with potentially serious side effects, including painful scarring. Physical treatments that may help relieve chronic pain include exercise, physical and occupational therapy, massage, and chiropractic manipulation. Exercise can improve strength and flexibility and improve balance, mood, and anxiety. People should get advice on the amount and type of exercise to do to avoid injuring the painful area. Physical therapy and occupational therapy include a variety of strategies tailored specifically to an individual patient and his or her injury or pain. PT and OT, physical therapy and occupational therapy, may include strengthening and stretching exercises, as well as advice on when to push through the pain and when to go easy. These clinicians may also recommend using thermal applications, ice or heat, and environmental management, such as ergonomics, to reduce stress on the body and correct musculoskeletal sources of pain. Massage therapy has shown only short-term benefits in chronic pain control. Increased pain intensity is a possible adverse effect. Thermal applications refer to either ice or heat. Ice can be very helpful in controlling swelling and pain with a variety of injuries. Heat is most helpful with relaxing a muscle spasm. Alternating heat and cold may prove beneficial in certain pain conditions. Environmental management can dramatically reduce external sources of pain exacerbation. Seating in cars, at desks, or in other places where people spend time may be adjusted to improve body support and reduce pain. Adjusting workstations, sleep positions, and approaches to daily tasks may improve posture and the effects of overuse of joints. Occupational health interventions can help people with chronic pain identify activities that make pain worse, and therapists can recommend behaviors and equipment that help decrease pain episodes. Chiropractic manipulations can improve acute low back pain. However, they are not recommended in the treatment of neck pain because they have been associated with an unacceptable high rate of injuries to the cervical spine, which is more fragile than the lower back spine. Behavioral medicine, including cognitive behavioral therapy, relaxation training, biofeedback training, and other types of psychotherapy, has been shown to be effective for pain management. With biofeedback, the patient is connected to electrical sensors that monitor information from the body, such as the electrical activity in certain muscles. As people become aware of those muscles, they can focus on controlling and relaxing the muscles to control and reduce their pain. Other relaxation techniques can help with muscle spasm and with anxiety created by the ongoing pain. They can also provide distraction from pain and improve people's sense of control over the pain. In addition, relaxation training can improve body awareness, stress management, and sleep. The most commonly used and best studied method is progressive muscle relaxation, which can be easily taught and learned. Relaxation is taught on its own or as part of a cognitive behavioral therapy. In certain cases, relaxation therapies can improve chronic pain and function.